We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Anthony Herron.
Drew's going to be legit. The guy can play football.
Former NFL defensive lineman Anthony Herron.
That's away from the initial contact, but not the second time.
Breaking down the Bears on Fox TV.
Mr. Herron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
College football for the Pac-12 Network.
Herron, the best of the bunch right now.
Anthony Herron with Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Opponents include Maryland, Ohio State, Purdue, and Michigan. Single game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Anthony Herron is here. He is on Twitter at Big Ant Herron. Pac-12 Network, NBC Sports, Fox 32, Sirius XM, and right here at Sports Radio 670 The Score. What's up, man?
Drew, what's happening, man?
Well, the Bears are hiring coaches as fast as they can. They create jobs for them. I just think it's hilarious. I find it completely preposterous that you could have a room full of guys where Matt Nagy is in charge of the offense. We know that. But now you have an offensive coordinator, you have a powerful and experienced quarterbacks coach, and you have a passing game coordinator, but no officially named running game coordinator. I mean, who talks when and how are these opinions all folded in? I'd love to know how it's actually supposed to work.
Maybe they're still going to hire a running game coordinator. Maybe that's the idea. Maybe they'll bring in someone else to be an additional veteran voice to say, all right, you're in charge of this quadrant of the passing game. You're in charge of that quadrant of the passing game. And then we got somebody else who's going to be in charge of the run game. We got somebody else who's going to – you'd be the only voice to talk to Mitch. There's going to be three other voices talking to the person who talks to Mitch. And then that's going to be the only one who actually gets to be in his ear during the week. Then Nagy's going to be in his ear during the game. They won't communicate at all during the week. It's going to be a whole lot of voices at Hallis Hall responsible for the Bears' offensive productivity. But when it all comes down to it, it's as much as anything, more than anything else, about all the information. What I'm encouraged by, and I think I talked to you guys about it a couple weeks ago shortly after the season ended, and then, you know, they surprisingly fired all the guys after the press conference ended. But whoever they bring in for these roles that they're filling, if it's going to be veteran individuals like a John DeFilippo, that's a good thing because he's had success on offense in the National Football League. He's been responsible for helping the Eagles win a Super Bowl and was one of these other young guys who was potentially in line for a head coaching position. So it's a great voice to bring in. There's just a lot of them. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. So it's going to be about Matt Nagy. How does he decipher all this information he gets from his assistants? And the offensive staff he had last season was fine. I think I told you guys before about my rookie year in Detroit, when Marty Morningweg took over as the head coach, and he had been a longtime OC in the league and worked under Steve Mariucci and a bunch of West Coast Bill Walsh 49ers disciples, and was thought of as a quality young offensive mind. Then he got to the Lions in 01 and hired a bunch of college dudes on the offensive side of the ball. There was some experience on defense because the defense in Detroit was good. So they pretty much left that alone and brought in a bunch of college guys on offense to work under him. So there weren't any voices that he felt threatened by, but there also weren't any voices who had really done anything at a high level in the NFL. That's not the mistake Matt Nagy's making here. It's just about how does he decipher and then communicate the information he's getting from his assistants. And then what do we see schematically on game day? Because that was as big a problem as anything. I didn't have a problem with the staff. I thought the staff was great. It was veteran. It was experienced. He was humble enough to say, I want experience on the offensive side of the ball helping me put this together. It's going to be about what do we actually see on the field on Sundays, though.
Yeah, I'd love to know how Matt Nagy began the interviews with each one of these coaches. You know, because if it's, here's what we do, how do you make this better, as opposed to what would you do with this kind of stuff, or accepting influence in an offense,
there is a
really big difference there. Because I would imagine that still the primary voice that's going to get to Mitch and coach him through that next season will still be Matt Nagy. I don't see him giving up that kind of control just the same way. I don't think he's giving up play calling. I think this is going to be all Matt Nagy. He's got to be the one, like you say, to take all of these ideas and meld them into something, then give it to Mitch. It will not work. At least I can't see it working if all of these ideas go to Mitch and then he's got to figure it out on the field.
The difficulty for Mitch will be that, now, you know, let's just presume that most of what he got his rookie season from Dow Loggins is gone, or, you know, like I don't view the rookie season as a lost season because he hadn't been in a huddle and he hadn't been under center and some of those things that just the repetition of doing that, I think there were benefits to that. But let's presume just as far as the techniques, the schematics, the voice in his head, let's presume he's able to put Dow Loggins behind him. But then he still had Mark Helfrich, who's now no longer there, and he's had Dave Ragone, who continues to be there. Obviously, Matt Nagy is still on board. Now you're adding DeFilippo, and there continues to be more and more laser offensive voices, offensive minds, who've had their version of what's worked. There's a whole lot of ways to skin this offensive cat in the National Football League. I'm hoping that we see the two most rudimentary offenses in the NFL this season that are now in both conference championship games, in the Titans and the 49ers. I'm hoping we see them in the Super Bowl. And then it'll just be this example to Matt Nagy of how you don't need to out-clever everyone on such a consistent basis. And if that's the case, then hopefully he'll be able to take that and all these very experienced offensive minds, meld that together with his experienced offensive mind, and in some way or shape help Mitch not allow that to get too cloudy, too foggy for him, because he's got a lot of old voices that he trusts and then some new voices coming in who he's going to respect their resume and what they've done, and he knows he's got to get better. So it's going to be quite a balance for Trubisky going into the biggest season of his football career for him as an individual to try and prove what he thinks he is.
I've got a theory about Bears offensive football that is, it's not testable, and I'll never know if this is true. But I keep thinking that the Bears during the week aren't that dissimilar from good offenses, that they're doing the same stuff. The structure is there. The procedures are there, all modeled after pretty much industry standard. The disconnect is what happens after the game starts. That they come up with a perfectly reasonable game plan. We can run this. We can run this. These are our down and distance calls. This is what we think we can do. Everything does. They're not lying to us about how it looks in practice. They genuinely think it looks pretty good. The problem is when the game turns, when something happens, when you get punched in the face to start the game, or when somebody falls down, or when the ball comes out, then all hell breaks loose. And a lot of that is just on Nagy's inexperience as a play caller in games. So I'm really wondering how much is fixable if the limiting factor is what he is doing once the game starts.
It's fixable if he responds to it better. And as frustrating as it will likely be between now and next season for Bears fans, the personnel is going to look largely similar to what it did this past year. So we can all presume there will be a veteran backup quarterback who's brought in. It's not going to be Tom Brady or Drew Brees. There's going to be some dude who's been around the league for a few years who the Bears, and hopefully I think we in evaluating things, will feel like has a better opportunity to become a starter and have success than what we view Chase Daniel at this point. Overall, personnel, as far as what's starting on the field, is going to be pretty similar to what we've seen the last two seasons. It's going to be about the work that none of us are going to see that the Bears are putting in between now and next season. And as important as anything, what Matt Nagy and these new offensive minds ends up determining is most important, most workable for that personnel. And that, I think, to the point you're making, Dan, what the practice week looks like, I do legitimately think, yes, he's being completely honest when he tells us that practice looked great. Now, he did also tell us that training camp looked great. And then, you know, those of us who were there looking at it, it's not looking quite as good as what he was saying. But let's assume the practice week during the regular season was looking like he described it. And then you get into games and it's not working out. It is that combination of execution and schematics, and the schematics, the game plan, the play calls themselves need to suit who he has, not who his positivity, his glasses half full, not what he saw in the practice field, what he thinks it will become, but what it legitimately is in that moment. And then you can still grow. You can build off of that. The Baltimore Ravens offense will look different next season than it did this year because Lamar Jackson will be a better, more refined version of himself. You presume the Buffalo Bills, their offense will look better and different than it did this season because Josh Allen will be a more refined version of what he was this year as a quarterback. But those are two systems that coach to what their QB, what their personnel up front on the offensive line. I mean, we'll see what happens with Bill O'Brien. You know, they made some small tweaks and some improvements to that offensive line with the Texans. Yeah. But I don't know if Bill O is changing anytime soon to help his quarterback out. Probably not. But some of the other coaches who you know, maybe have guys at the infancy of their development, I anticipate those systems will continue to mature.
Yeah, and if Josh Allen beer bongs one fewer Four Loco before a game, I think that changes his decision-making process.
Just,
yeah, from 4 to 3, Josh. Just like
he's a big dude,
down,
though. He's a big
bit.
Dude. There's
right,
a lot of space
right.
in there to fill
right.
up with urgency.
BAC changes, caffeine levels change. You're right. He'd probably do four. Maybe just, you know, spread them out a little bit or have a sandwich halfway through. It's up to him. He'll figure it out. Anthony, I wonder, you've been in the league. You've been into a spot before where you're in between jobs or looking for places or in between rosters. I would imagine that in that situation, you and your agent are looking at places to go and say, well, this coach was good to me, or I know this guy, or this guy knows this guy, and this guy at college knew this guy and trained this, or this is this guy's kid. All that stuff happens.
Yeah.
Should we be doing that in any degree with the hirings of Bill Lazor and John DeFilippo and Juan Cassie, all these guys and their connections to former quarterbacks that they've had in the league in an offseason where we're going to see more quarterback movement than I think any of us are prepared for?
Yeah, yeah, I think definitely should, and especially as quickly as some of the hires were made, part of that based off of relationships, you know, like Castillo that Matt Nagy already had in place. But some of these guys he really doesn't know that well. You know, he'd been around. You know, there wasn't crossover or carryover. I don't think he and DeFilippo were in Philly at the same exact time.
No, they weren't.
Right. So, I mean, there's some carryover there. Lazor came around during camp because he thought about bringing him in previously to actually hiring him now. So there's relationships that are there. There's some of them that he's worked with. But overall, the speed to which some of these staff hires have been made allows them the potential to have the new coaches evaluate what they have to work with within their position groups or within just their sector, their segment of the Bears offense, and then to build off of that and saying, here's what I think works. You know, not just for what you guys did last season, but here's a guy I think you can bring in that would work for this, that would fit with this group in this meeting room, that would fit within the system you're saying you want to run that we're not exactly seeing on film from what you actually put out there in gameplay. So, yes, there's no doubt about it, man. You can expand it all the way out to the Rooney Rule with how much of this is so much about relationships in this, you know, life and business in general, but specifically in the NFL, where this guy knew that guy who worked with the other guy before and says, you know what, he'll fit here, and I think he can work here. You know, that's where the Helfrich Mariota thing, or now the Pace Mariota thing that still lingers, could still end up making sense because there's someone who believed in another individual. There was someone in Nashville who believed in Ryan Tannehill who said, yeah, if Marcus doesn't work out, I think this guy's got a shot, and we bring him in here to do some good things for us, and that's worked out really well. He's going to get paid by somebody, probably Tennessee.
Do you think the Bears avoiding a classic training camp and just holding it at their facility does anything to make them more likely to win the Super Bowl?
Sure. I mean, it's become fairly prevalent. Even in being there, just talking to some folks around the offseason and then being there in camp a little bit, kind of expected this may be on the way here. And I think, yeah, it's what a lot of the league has gone to. It's a more simplified version where you can still, because of the new facilities they've built there, you can still sequester your guys to an extent while allowing some comfort, while allowing when you want to let them go sleep in their bed at night, that sort of thing. But you can still get them in that confined, pseudo-sequestered environment without saying, we got to go all the way, you know, off somewhere else to make it happen. A lot of teams started going away from that. Even my second year in Detroit in 2002, when they built Ford Field and the new practice facilities there, we had gone away from it. Arthur Blank in 2004, when I got to Atlanta, had just built practice facilities in Flowery Branch that the Falcons weren't going off and doing the sequestered thing anymore. So it's become more and more prevalent around the league. So I think the training camp phase of things to just lessen or, I guess, enhance the comfort of the players and lessen the back and forth of trying to go off somewhere to some dormitory, you know, elsewhere. And you can kind of keep a closer eye on them and allow them to sort of still live their regular lives while still sequestering things.
Did you like camp when you played?
No, not at all.
Did anybody?
Not one bit.
Does anybody like it?
I think like is a strong term. Some guys withstand training camp.
Okay.
You know, that word callous.
Tolerated, maybe?
Yeah. So Matt Nagy always uses the word callous, and it's a popular, prevalent word around the league because you do want to build that while you're in the preseason. It's, in my opinion, I've said this for a couple of years, I kind of piped down about it like a lot of us did this past offseason as far as the guys not playing in the preseason games. But that is where part of the callous builds for the teams. That's one thing that we won't find out for months now, but I'll be curious to see how he handles the preseason games themselves and just trying to have his team more ready, more prepared for the opening game of the regular season than what it seemed like they were this past year. And what, you know, like we saw the early portion of the season last year, a lot of the early games, the scripted portion of things in 2018, they kind of got out to this roaring start and then leveled off. And that was without reps then, without reps in year two. I'm hoping that maybe that'll end up being just one example of some tweaks that we see from Matt Nagy as he continues to sort of round into form as a more experienced head coach in the league.
You mentioned it's not going to be Drew Brees. It's not going to be Phillip Rivers or any number of these high-profile quarterbacks.
Maybe Rivers. It's not going to be Brees or Brady.
Where are these guys? They got to land somewhere. Right. Are we making too many assumptions? Because this is not a good year for old quarterbacks who were shown to be just that in the playoffs. Maybe some teams are going to say, look, we can't do this forever. And old great quarterbacks do go play for other teams. Joe Montana was a Chief. Johnny Unitas was a Charger. Joe Namath was a Ram. These guys, it does happen.
Yeah, and some of you feel free to web search the names that Dan just mentioned there. I know there's going to be a lot of the folks out there, you know, yelling "Okay, Boomer," who won't know some of those names, but they're very prevalent quarterback names in the history of the National Football League.
I've told you the story, haven't I? That when I was 3 years old, standing in front of our next door neighbor's television, my dad specifically told me, he said, "Remember, you saw this." He said, "That's John Unitas on the Chargers in '72." Right?
Really.
And he said, "Don't forget this. Remember that you saw Johnny Unitas." And I did.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'll take a snapshot of that. I got it. Dad just told me the two earliest television.
Now give me some more applesauce.
It was Nixon climbing up the helicopter and giving the victory sign and that. Those are two things that I was told to remember.
Really?
Yep.
I think that with some of these,
as veterans, I glance up to my right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I think some of the
Are there connections there? Oh, I see. Oh, I think
right. Some of the veteran guard at quarterback in the league right now, yeah, some of them are gonna change locations. I think for Tom Brady, for example, I think some of the guys are going to be in sort of a different place than others, of course, where a guy like Brady is going to be able to say, where will I be comfortable? You know, he's earned that. He's got that type of credibility. There's still going to be plenty of folks who think he can play the game at a level where they're going to want to bring him in, but he's going to look at it and say, well, what suits me best? What suits the location I want to be in? What suits the scheme I feel comfortable running? The weather I want to live in? All
the
those
sales
of
my $12 water bottles and $80 vibrating sphere.
There's a vibrating sphere.
Oh, you better believe it.
Oh, yeah, he's got a sphere.
The TB12 vibrating pliability sphere.
Okay. Yep. Okay. I may take a look at that. That's it. I didn't know that was a
thing.
Don't
ask what you do with it.
Hey, no questions here. But I think for certain guys, like a Phillip Rivers, he won't be regarded in the same manner as some of the other guys, as some of the other future Hall of Famers. If Eli wants to play, Eli might be a backup next year for somebody. It's just going to depend on what the situation is, so that there's tiers to these all-time great players. A lot of them are going to end up elsewhere. Some of them might end up out of work and be surprised by it. But I think overall, for what will be here in Chicago, and part of that fact will be what's already invested from a capital standpoint, from a fiduciary standpoint with Trubisky, then that, even from the Bears' perspective, could and I think likely will limit who they pursue amongst these veteran guys. Because certain guys, you're trying to bring them in, you have to pay a big chunk of change to get them. And if you've already invested whatever it is, $30 million into Mitch, then it's less likely you're going to go another 25, 30 mil for somebody else for a season.
We need to talk more. There's games coming up this weekend. We got to get to and break down with Anthony Herron. We will do so. So keep it here on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I don't want to interrupt your dueling apocalyptic visions here.
I have so many of them.
Yeah, I know. You have so many actual designs.
I do.
Post-apocalyptic
future. These dueling dystopiae.
Dystopian, yes.
Man.
Dystopiae.
The bottom of the hour was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves will wear special military appreciation jerseys on January 18th and 19th. It will be auctioned and raffled to help the USO, Honor Flight, and Canines for Veterans. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. There is a clear favorite in each one of these games.
By the way, it's crazy how you can make pretentious words even more pretentious.
Oh, don't get
dystopia.
Me started.
Really?
Don't get really? Me started. Well, I'm not going to say dystopias. That would be wrong.
Don't let him steer you wrong either. I mean, he and I both believe that a post-apocalyptic world is possible. The difference is when he watches Mad Max Fury Road, he has fun. When I watch Mad Max Fury Road, I take notes. Oh, that's a good idea. That'll work.
How do I hydrate when there's no water?
This could do it. All right. Keep surgical tubing around for blood. But yeah, that right. works.
you're planning.
I am.
I'll be long dead. I'm going. I'm not going to stick around to be an immortan. It's not gonna matter.
You'd be the so, what? You would be Immortan Joe. Like that's your future.
No, I'd be the bullet farmer. Probably that's a better nickname. You work in the abandoned lead mine and
the guy with the nipple rings. Is that one?
No, that's the people eater.
Oh, you're right. That's the people eater. That's right.
Right. He runs Gas City. And not like a gas city out in the southern suburbs.
I'm picturing Uncle Terry just like sitting on a throne somewhere, and Dan just in like some sidecar next to him with like with his head shaved.
Terry, clown makeup. Terry would make a great Immortan. So if we recast Mad Max with Terry running the Citadel.
That's exactly what it is.
He's wandering around. He's covered in like white powder. He's got a big thing on his face.
Hey, buddy.
I don't know. I
witness
don't know.
Me. Or whatever.
Have his eyelids scotch taped open so nobody can sneak up on him at all times.
He throws his detachable ass at people.
And instead of actual Gas City, it's a Gas City in Frankfurt.
Right, exactly. Oh, we live.
Ah, yes, well, football.
Anyway, Titans going to beat the Chiefs or what?
Oh, man, I hope so. I hope so. And it's not because I have anything against the Chiefs. This is just to the point I was making earlier. I know so many people are dreading what the Titans 49ers Super Bowl could end up meaning for, like, the future of the National Football League. So, like, man, give me a break. Folks are going to watch. Folks are going to eat it up. They're going to enjoy. It's going to be fine. So I'm really, in my mind's eye, I'm kind of rooting for Tennessee versus San Francisco just so folks don't get what they're hoping for. And so you get this very dated version of football that still wins at a high level. But no, I don't think either team is going to win. I think we're going to see Kansas City versus Green Bay. I think what we saw from the Chiefs last weekend, while plenty of blame put on Bill O'Brien and everything else, but it felt like watching the Golden State Warriors at the beginning of their run in the NBA, where you felt like you had them down, but kind of the entire way while the other team is forging ahead. It's going to come at some point. When's the run? And then it began. And it was so quick, man. It was like the blink of an eye. They went from being down 3 scores and to down 24 points to they were leading at halftime. I mean,
and then it was a blowout.
It was a blowout. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, you didn't have to watch a second half of the NFL. Fourth quarter.
Nope. It was like an NBA game, and it was like a duds, not even like an old school NBA game where, yeah, everybody's going to make a run. It was like they were just waiting in the weeds, and then suddenly they decided to play, and there was nothing the opponent could do about it.
We've asked almost everybody, when was the moment you thought the Chiefs could actually go win the thing? Because Dan was, it was you after the third touchdown.
Second Kelce touchdown.
Third touchdown, right. And mine was after the second one, I think.
I mean, there wasn't a point where I thought they couldn't or wouldn't. I needed to see it get into the third quarter where there was still a several touchdown lead for Houston. But before I really thought the Chiefs were legitimately out of the game, it was just, you know, with what we've seen from that team over the past couple of seasons, and quite frankly, what we've seen from Houston and Bill O'Brien to a certain extent as well. Like, there's some other teams where I'd say, all right, maybe they're gonna have enough defense to keep them at bay long enough, or they're gonna have enough offense that will be sustainable that's gonna keep them at bay, or at least go score for score.
Yeah.
No, it ended. Like, I'm not gonna say I wasn't somewhat surprised. I didn't think they'd win by 20 in the end of it, but did I think Kansas City was still likely to come back? Likely might be strong, you know, early second quarter, but I think they still had a good shot to come back and win. Yeah, I really did.
So how do you beat them? Well, if you're game planning against them, what do you do?
I think you have to take Patrick Mahomes out of rhythm. There was never a point in the
game. Oh, okay, I'll just do that then.
Well, you know, but I mean, to do so in a physical manner, even if the ball's gone, to hit him. And there was never a point in the game where we saw the Texans beyond J.J. Watt, they got a couple other guys who get after the quarterback, but there was never a point where, whether it was, you know, the majority of what we saw was man coverage throughout the game, but even a zone blitz. Like, if you don't go man blitz and you're worried about him throwing the ball over your head because Tyreek Hill's the fastest man in the NFL, okay, well, Travis Kelce's the best tight end in the NFL. You're either dying by a death of a thousand cuts, but find some way to bring additional heat, even if you know there's a chance you're giving up a big play. Just speed up the guy's process on occasion. You know, don't do it every snap. Don't let him know it's coming. But you have to bring some heat on him, at least on occasion, just to hit him, man, just to let him know you're there. He's just far too comfortable in that game.
On the flip side of this is a Titans team that is unstoppable on the ground, but still, in these two playoff games, hasn't scored that much. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just one touchdown for Derrick Henry in the first game. It was at two in the next one, right? They can't keep living like that against the Chiefs. What do you feel Mike Vrabel is willing to do with the quarterback? And if you think I'm wrong, like, let me know that too. But what do you think Mike Vrabel is willing to do with Ryan Tannehill?
I think Ryan Tannehill will be fine in this game. And I believe what Mike Vrabel will likely do is take a blade out of his pocket and go out there midfield before the opening kickoff and like stick a dagger in the football and just say, we're just taking the air. Like, literally, I'm just going to take all the air out of this ball. And he's going to just provide not only the mental image of it, but here's exactly what's going to happen. Now I'll take my 15-yard penalty, and now let's play some football with some other ball that's got air in it. But that's going to be their mission, just to keep Pat Mahomes on the sideline as frequently as possible, you know, to the point that Dan asked a moment ago. Obviously, him on the sideline, Tyreek Hill on the sideline, Mecole Hardman on the sideline, just all their weapons, Kelce on the sideline. Everybody not on the field can't score a touchdown. So that's certainly the biggest goal. Now, when your defense is on the field, that's where it's about speeding up his process, taking Mahomes out of rhythm. But as much as anything, whatever you can do with Derrick Henry, even if it's fourth and one on your own 45 and the game is, you know, is tight, go for some of those. Just to do everything you can to sustain drives, to sustain the clock from right off the jump. And not only does it keep them on the sidelines, thus having less opportunities to score, but also less rhythm to score. The Texans began playing the game at the pace of the Chiefs. You know, the weird fourth down in his own territory where he's freaked out because he knows he missed an opportunity earlier. So he says, you know what, let's try the fake punt here, even though it makes zero sense to do it. It just, you know, after the decision that was made early to follow that up.
You can smell the flop sweat.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's going on. And he's, you know, he's thinking in his mind, all right, it's time to be aggressive. Well, that window may have closed, especially from the down and distance from the yard line you're at right there. But in predetermined, and Mark Vrabel, for a young coach, has been excellent, especially during the playoffs here, at plotting out how, and frankly, when his offense moves that slowly, it allows more time for a coach to think on the sidelines, especially when you're not responsible for the play calling. So when you're playing at a certain tempo and you don't feel like the clock is your enemy, then you can just breathe a little bit. You can plot out what the game situations will end up, you know, dictating for you to make certain decisions. And that's been a strength of the Tennessee Titans and Mike Vrabel for a guy who really hadn't been doing this very long.
This segment's brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. If I'm Matt LaFleur, I am thinking about the pass rush of the San Francisco 49ers and particularly Nick Bosa, who the more I watch, the more impressed I get. The leverage that he gets, the functional strength with which he plays comes through. You don't have to be a super scout to see what I'm talking about here, where at the point of attack, he wins every time. He wins with speed. He wins with leverage. He wins with power. He wins with angle. He was dog walking guys.
He was.
And dog walking double teams. Even when he didn't make the play or get any kind of stat generated, the amount of energy that it took to keep him from doing that was noticeable.
And, you know, we think back to what the 2018 Bears pass rush looked like, where there was not a lane for the opposing quarterback to step up, where you have DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead, depending on just where their front has been shifted, who's a five technique, who's a three technique, who's occasionally a one technique, where there's not an angle, there's not a lane where the quarterback feels safe. Because it's one thing where, all right, I can feel that speed coming off the edge. I can tell there's something from the blind side happening here. All right, I'm just going to, you know, kind of calmly climb the pocket, and hopefully my tackle and the back who's chipping can continue to kind of chase him around the horn. And maybe he just
Rodgers
runs
is good
behind
at, he's good at finding things that aren't there, because yeah, that makes you crazy, because of all the quarterbacks, it's like, how did he wiggle his way out of that one?
And in a very similar manner, Rodgers is great at it. Russell Wilson is great at it. There's certain quarterbacks who just find that little finite amount of space in the midst of all these trees just to get the pass off in time, and that can end up frustrating an opposing pass rush. The thing is, with the Packers, you won't necessarily see as much quick game, and that's something where Aaron Rodgers will have to display the patience to use more quick game. And now Matt LaFleur has taken that out of his hands by the success Aaron Jones has had, by the willingness to continue to call run plays, whether or not Aaron Rodgers is cooking or he's not cooking and he's trying to get some rhythm and he wants to get into his old school mode where he's saying, you know what, let's go some hurry up. Or you know what, let me just start to air it out and be a volume passer here because I got to get into some rhythm. Matt LaFleur is taking that out of his hands and saying, you know what, well, we'll get some rhythm going later. Right now, let's just bop side to side. Let's just move easy back and forth like 102.7. We just got to kind of get in a little bit of rhythm with the run game first. Then we'll give you a chance to start cooking later on. And that's very different where before, Aaron Rodgers, throughout most of his career as a starter, has had the keys to the car. And if he felt like things weren't going well with the offense, then he said, all right, I got it. I'm going to shoulder the load. I'm going to go hurry. I'm going to audibleize. I'm going to start to do a lot more things where I can drop deep, where I can hold the football, look for the big play. A lot of that has been taken away from him, and the Green Bay offense has benefited from it. Now, his rhythm has been inconsistent because of that, because part of the way he gets himself in rhythm is to throw the ball more frequently. That's the case with most quarterbacks, where you feel better, you're more confident because you're just getting repetition at it in game. When you do hand the ball off four snaps in a row and then say, all right, here you are, let's throw it a couple of times, you're not in the same rhythm. So that's part of what's affected Aaron Rodgers' performance this season. But the team as a whole, the defense, the turnover margin, all those things have benefited from the Packers' willingness to run the football.
Sounds like you feel that game is much more upset capable than the first.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think the first game will be fun it'll be fun for me if the Titans are able to control the clock with Derrick Henry just bloodying people's noses over and over again. Then that I'll find that compelling, because we're going to get all the cutaway shots of Pat Mahomes on the sidelines, just like chattering his teeth, just waiting for that opportunity to get onto the field so he can get into that shooter's rhythm like he did in the second quarter and beyond the other day, where it was 7 touchdowns in a row. But if it's nothing but cutaway shots of him on the sideline with his hair flopping in the wind, and we're seeing all the commercials with him and Troy Polamalu, but we're not seeing it. It's a great head of hair. But we're going to see a lot more of that if the Titans have something to say about it than we are him actually behind center slinging the pill.
Anthony Heron, thank you. I know there's some. You asked for pizza. There's
smelling
some,
it, man.
There's some pizza there
the air,
for you.
And I don't know, between Campy and Zawaski.
It's gone.
Yeah,
it's all gone.
I would not expect that cast on the other side of the glass to save a lot.
He made it very clear. He's like, yeah, I'm coming to the studio. Make sure there's pizza. Like
carnivorous pizza.
Oh, oh yeah, no, we got that. Yeah,
wait,
no, we,
well, pizza right. that eats meat.
The fine folks at Art of Pizza could make it.
Oh, I'm sure.
To.
If any place capable, could find you know,
it's art.
Sentient carnivorous pizza,
that's who
it,
could do it.
It would be Art of Pizza. When we come back, I've got a pair of Bulls tickets for their game against the T-Wolves to give away. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Give me a number there, pizza face.
All right. 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Caller 4 to the contest line, 312-591-6700, wins a pair of tickets to see the Bulls against Minnesota at the United Center January 22nd, courtesy of 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls. A lot of thanks to everybody. Thanks to...
Tons.
Thanks to Art of Pizza, by the way.
Yeah, you say pizza face like it's an insult. I wear it as a badge, sir. Art of Pizza.
What do you want? What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Jay.
Why don't you make a copy of the prize sheet?
That's what I just asked.
Just make a copy of the prize sheet. Then you can have the actual prize. You don't have to walk in here. Think about it. You made yourself walk. That's on you.
That's horrifying.
You made yourself walk. So you can't blame me.
That's my workout for the day.
Okay. That's your cardio? That's
and
pretty cool.
And
I guess.
One slice of pizza for penance. One extra slice. What?
Those are big slices.
Yeah, they are.
One is a
they're
meal.
So good.
I know they're good. Thanks to
a meal for who?
Thanks to
Normie,
Jay yeah. Zawoski, Rick Camp, the Executioner, Ray Diaz. Thanks to Anthony Heron, Michael Bauman, Matt Miller for joining us tomorrow. Hub is going to take phone calls.
Yeah, could be fun tomorrow. Got some things.
What are you not telling me?
We have some things that might be cooking. Okay. We're looking forward to tomorrow's potential.
Okay.
And Mitch's potential.
Incremental progress. We're going to make steady incremental progress to tomorrow. And then we're going to do transition next with Lawrence Holmes on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.